forgot to record myself. Any more? Tonight, what I'd like to talk to you all about for just a little bit is proving yourself a man. If you would turn to 1 Kings, the second chapter, we will read the first three verses. A little setup here before we get into the lesson is, here we see David is on his deathbed. He's about to die. He's got Solomon there before him. And he makes a charge to Solomon. In verse 1 he says, "As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, 'I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn.'" So we see here, in the very beginning, as David is about to die, he charged Solomon to be strong, to prove himself a man, and to keep the commandments of the Lord. Solomon was blessed to have a godly father, a man that walked after God's own heart, about whom he could later fondly reminisce. In the scriptures, he refers back to David and the things that he was taught. Who gave him counsel on how to be a man? Turn to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. "When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and he said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty." These things here, I think it's important to understand the parallel that's being drawn. We're not talking about just earthly wisdom here. Obviously, we know that Solomon was a very wise man, the wisest man on earth. We know that he spent much time outside of God's statutes and outside of God's commandments trying to learn about the earth and how it worked. I think what David is saying to him here, just learn about God's Word. Learn about His statutes. Learn about His commandments. Be wise in that. Gain understanding in that. And that's where you're going to be successful. That's where you are going to be pleasing to the Lord. And that's the most important. Many men today are not so blessed. Some are without fathers, either through death or divorce. Some have fathers who fail to provide spiritual leadership. I think we can see that around the world, even in our own communities and possibly in our own families, we see that oftentimes. It's a sad thing, and that's where we have an obligation, and hopefully we see that obligation and fulfill it in being good role models for those children that need that. Where can they go to learn what it means to prove yourself a man? One source is Solomon's self, who provided wisdom and guidance for all men in the Bible. For example, if you were a son, he would say, "Take heed to your counselors. Take heed to your counselors." Number one, fear God. Such is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Turn to Proverbs, the first chapter. Actually, don't turn there. I've got several verses here I'm going to read real quick. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Chapter 9 and verse 10 of Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It will prolong one's days, being a fountain of life." Proverbs 10 and verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Proverbs the 14th chapter, verse 26 and 27. "In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Is the whole meaning of one's existence, as we know in Ecclesiastes 8 and chapter 12, although a sinner although a sinner does evil 100 times and many lengthen his life, still know that it will be well for those who fear God and fear Him openly. Chapter 12 and verse 13 in Ecclesiastes. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Therefore, let the Word of God be your primary counselor in life. We seek counsel. We talked about it shortly this morning in class, that when we look to the wrong place for support, more than likely we're to fail. If I'm about to take on, let's say that Wes just gets this crazy idea that he's going to go build a house. Well, most of you probably know that our basement still is not done yet. Here it is, been a year we've been moved in, and the basement still isn't finished, so that should lead you guys to know that Wes is probably not the best carpenter, and he's probably not the best handyman around the house. So let's say I go buy some land and I say, I'm going to build myself a house. I'm going to save myself some money and build it. So I go grab my good friend Ryan, who's a computer programmer. I say, all right, I need your help. I need your support. Let's build this house. It's not going to get done. I'm going to fall on my face and be a laughingstock more than likely, and then I'm going to have to go get a loan and pay somebody to finish it for me. Point in case, if you don't have the right support, you're not going to succeed. And if we listen to the wrong counsel, if we choose the wrong counsel, we are going to fail. Maybe not in this life. You may be very successful in this life, but there is the life after this that you need to worry about. Listen to your parents. Their advice will be like graceful ornaments around your neck. Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 8 and 9. Their advice can guide you through life. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 20 and 22. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. And beware of evil companions. They will entice you to do evil. Proverbs, the 1st chapter, verses 10 through 14. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Choose your friends carefully. Evil company can corrupt good morals. We find that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 33. We know that because it states it very plainly. The people that we choose to hang around with can very well rub off on us. So, with the previous couple of things mentioned, do you think it would probably behoove us to hang around people that are like-minded, people that will help spur us on to be more Christ-like, to be more godly? You better believe it. Those are the types of people that we need to surround ourselves with. There are, and unfortunately, there's not an abundance of those people around. We see here from our congregation, our small congregation, the one across the highway is not exceptionally large as well for such a city as St. Joe. But those are the people that we are going to share things in common with. Those are the people that we need to interact with, and those are the ones that we need to do things with. Do things with people that are going to help you, not hinder you. If you were Solomon's son, he would also counsel you to take heed of your goals. Seek wisdom and understanding. Seek wisdom as you would seek for silver, as it says in Proverbs, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 9. It goes extensively into that. It will also protect you from the evil man and evil woman. Proverbs, the 2nd chapter, verses 10 through 22, talks about evil people and how they will snare you. will be a tree of life, a source of wonderful blessings. Proverbs, the third chapter. As his own father told Solomon, wisdom is the principal thing. Turn to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. Through 13. We just read that just a moment ago. It's talking about when he was a son to his father and when he was precious to his mother, the things that he taught him. The acquisition of godly wisdom should be a priority in life. Too often today, and this is in another lesson that I've got, but we'll save the crux of that because its focus is a little bit different, but I'll touch on it slightly with that point. How worried are we about our children and their education in the world today? Well, we would like to see them be successful, I think. I think we'd like to see them get good grades. How many of us, I don't have that one in school yet, but I imagine I'll be probably pretty disappointed because for the most part I was a decent student. If she comes home with a D, I won't be too happy. Are we the same way? Most of us, I would say yes. We probably want our children to do well because that means that they're going to succeed in life. We want them to be able to take care of themselves. We want them to go to college. And maybe one day they'll get their master's and doctorate and PhD and all that good stuff. But what is the focus in life? Is that the focus? Good grades in school? Or is knowledge of God and His Word? How do we treat that? More often than not, when I taught the Sunday school classes at Nashua, I'd always have one or two children that were always prepared and probably prepared above and beyond what they were supposed to be. And this is fourth through sixth grade kids. You could tell that those were the parents that wanted their children to learn what was in the Bible. They were prepared. They already knew the story. They knew everything ahead of time. They were ready to learn. The other kids, maybe they are good students, but they weren't in my class. It's a sad thing. Acknowledge God's role in your life. Trust in Him and let Him direct your paths. Fear Him and honor Him with processions. Accept His chastisement in your life. Many times, we've talked about, and I think we've even had a lesson on this here recently, that we blame God for things that we shouldn't blame Him for. Even if He is the one providing the scourging, the quote-unquote scourging, or the chastisement in my life, I need that. That is what is going to make me stronger. We look at adversity and we look at hard times and we drop our shoulders. It's like the wind's been taken out of our sails. One good point, and I think this is in reference to sin more than anything else, but in reference to adversity as well. Look at the whole armor of God that's talked about. All those pieces, they pretty much mimic or parallel what a Roman soldier wore during that time. Okay? Roman soldiers were not just defensive units. They weren't defensive. They had good defense, but all of that defensive armor was for going on the offense. So we have to remember, we don't just fall back at everything that happens to us, all the adversity, all the different things that go on in our life. Some of that stuff we're going to have to meet it head on. There is no way to back out from it. True, run from sin. Keep that temptation as far away from you as possible. But the adversity, the different things that happen in our lives, the chastisement from God, meet that stuff head on. Meet that stuff head on. Let the Lord be your confidence, and He will bless you. Turn to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it. When you have it with you, do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without case if he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Let the Lord be your confidence. All too often today, we trust in ourselves. Should you trust in yourself? To a degree, of course. You've got to place some confidence in yourself, and you've got to know, I can get through this. I can meet this battle head on. But again, what's your source? What's your source? Where's your confidence coming from? It's coming from the Word. It's coming from God. Take heed to your relationships. Avoid the harlot, the woman who would entice you but destroy you in the end. The adulteress who would destroy your reputation and friendships. And all of these verses come from Proverbs chapter 5 and chapter 6. Who destroys even the strong man through her seductions. There is obviously a direct application from this in avoiding bad women. But there is also a secondary that goes along with this as well. Anything that can entice us and pull us away from our goal is going to ruin us. I like that. How it's put there in Proverbs the 7th chapter, 1 through 27, it says, even the strong men, even the men who are mighty, will be pulled down by this, will be destroyed by this. Love your wife. Rejoice in being raptured with the wife of your youth. As mentioned there in Proverbs chapter 5 and 15, the Lord will know those who look elsewhere for love. The Lord would have you live joyfully with your wife. Again, there is a primary application of this, but there's also a secondary application of this as well. Something we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, last Sunday and this Sunday. Those relationships, that faithfulness. Be faithful to the commitments that you've made. And hopefully they're good ones. Take heed to your character. Avoid debt and sloth. Debt enslaves, especially when we go into debt for other people. There's a little bit of common sense that we have to use in going into debt. I know there are some brothers and sisters who believe across the world that we can't take any debt on, period. Well, I'm almost certain for the most part that most of us aren't independently wealthy enough to go out and pay for a house in cash. And most of us don't have the money to pay for decent cars in cash either, but that's your decision. I don't believe that it teaches one way or another against something like that. But don't take on debt that you cannot repay. That's something that a lot of people have gotten themselves into in this world of wants. We've gone far-reaching what our income will support because of things that we want, things that are not necessary. Take heed to your character. A big part of that is being able to do what you say you're going to do. When you buy things, when you go far past what you can afford, you're telling those people, yes, I'm going to pay you back. I can. I'm good for this. And now all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you can't repay that. And some people have to end up filing bankruptcy. I think to me that's a detriment to your character. That says this person is not trustworthy after that. Laziness will bring poverty. It's talked about there in Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Let's turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 6 through 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. I think vagabond and armed man, those two words there are strong enough to let you know that it'll come quick. It'll come quick. If you don't work and you don't support yourself, you're going to have poverty. You're going to be in a place that you don't want to be. So Christians are to be industrious and avoid being in debt when we can, obviously. Know what is an abomination. Taking heed to your character takes into effect that you know what is an abomination. There are things that God hates. Proverbs the 6th chapter and verses 16 through 19. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. We've got to know that God hates those things. And just because this came from Proverbs doesn't mean that it doesn't have application today. God is the same today as he was yesterday and as he was when he created the world. These are evil things. Keep those things in mind. And while we look at them, we say, well, you know, I don't devise wicked plans. I don't do those things. How often do your feet run to evil? Have you thought about that? To gossip? Or to jokes that you shouldn't be telling or paying attention to? How often do your feet find you in a place where you shouldn't be? Remember that. Even our worship can be an abomination. Proverbs the 15th chapter. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. We've got to have ourselves in a right state of mind, and we have to have ourselves in a right state, period, as far as repentance goes, as far as our respect to God, in order to be worshiping him right. If you are a drunk, or a gambler, or any of the such, through the week, and then on Sunday, you're the little church boy, I'm afraid you have your priorities backwards here. And this, again, goes back to taking heed of your character. We need to know what is the Father's will that pleases him. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. All of the things that we do must be in accordance with the Scripture. 1 Peter 4:11. Remember that. Just because we're doing things in his name, if we're not doing them right, what does he say here? It's as if I never knew you. Get away from me. That's a sad thing. Many people today, like the individual that left, and I won't call him a brother because I don't know if he really is in the Church of Christ or not, like the man that left the message on the machine this morning, he's been deceived. And that's terrible. Hopefully, through listening to the radio programs, or maybe he will come to visit. But just because you believe in God doesn't mean that you're going to be saved. And just because you're doing righteous acts does not mean that you are righteous yourself. In conclusion, want to point out just a few things. Take heed of one's counselors. Who will you listen to? Take heed of your goals. What will you do? Take heed of one's relationships. Who will you love? Who will you spend time with? And take heed of your character. Who will you become? These things we've got to pass on to our kids. We've got to pass on to those that are young, number one, and in age, but also young in the faith as well. The things that they decide to do on a daily basis is who they will become later in life. We have earthly fathers who offer spiritual guidance in becoming men. Thank God for such wonderful blessings and benefit from that counsel and that instruction that they offer. Even to this day, there are very few people in which it's the way I'm wired, I guess, but there are very few people that I will take counsel from. That may be to a fault almost. But I will always go to my father and ask him for guidance. Does it mean that Larry is all-knowing and all-powerful? No, of course not. Nobody has been around the block a couple of times. And there's something to be said for that. So you kids back there in the back, pay attention to what your dad says. He's a wise man, wiser than you think. If we do not have such fathers, remember that you have a heavenly father. Turn to Psalms, the 68th chapter. Verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Remember to take your guidance from God, from his word. You can't go wrong. He's the one that created you. He is the one that made the law book. He's the one that created the instruction manual. If it's anybody you can trust, it's him. One who has provided much guidance and counsel in his word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Let the word of God pass down, preserved, and proven by generations of fathers and sons be your guide. Proving yourself a man. Or woman, for that matter. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of the congregation, I ask that you let us know that. And if there's anyone that wants to become a member, I believe all here have heard many times over what it takes to become a child of God. If you have any requests, I ask that you come forward at this time when we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart.